Triplanetary by Edward E. Smith. Chapter 1. Pirates of Space. Apparently motionless to her passengers and crew, the interplanetary liner Hyperion bored serenely onward through space at normal acceleration. In the railed-off sanctum in one corner of the control room, a bell tinkled, a smothered whir was heard, and Captain Bradley frowned as he studied the brief message upon the tape of the recorder. A message flashed to his desk from the operator's panel. He beckoned, and the second officer, whose watch it now was, read aloud, "Reports of scout patrols still negative." "Still negative," the officer scowled and thought. "They've already searched beyond the widest possible location of the wreckage, too. Two unexplained disappearances inside a month. First the Dione, then the Rhea, and not a plate nor a lifeboat recovered. Looks bad, sir. One might be an accident, two might possibly be a coincidence." His voice died away. What might that coincidence mean? "But at three it would get to be a habit," the captain finished the thought. And whatever happened, happened quick. Neither of them had time to say a word. Their location recorders simply went dead. But of course they didn't have our detector screens nor our armament. According to the observatories, we're in clear ether, but I wouldn't trust them from Tellus to Luna. You have given the new orders, of course?" "Yes, sir. Detectors full out, all three courses of defensive screen on the trips, projectors manned, suits on the hooks. Every object detected in the outer space to be investigated immediately. If vessels, they are to be warned to stay beyond extreme range. Anything entering the fourth zone is to be rayed." "Right. We are going through." "But no known type of vessel could have made away with them without detection," the second officer argued. "I wonder if there isn't something in those wild rumors we've been hearing lately." "Bah, of course not," snorted the captain. "Pirates and ships faster than light, fifth-order rays, nullification of gravity, mass without inertia? Ridiculous! Proved impossible over and over again. No, sir, if pirates are operating in space, and it looks very much like it, they won't get far against a good big battery full of kilowatt-hours behind three courses of heavy screen and a good solid set of multiplex rays. Properly used, they're good enough for anybody. Pirates, Neptunians, angels or devils, in ships or on sunbeams, if they tackle the Hyperion, we'll burn them out of the ether." Leaving the captain's desk, the watch officer resumed his tour of duty. The six great lookout plates into which the alert observers peered were blank, their far-flung ultra-sensitive detector screens encountering no obstacle. The ether was empty for thousands upon thousands of kilometers. The signal lamps upon the pilot's panel were dark. Its warning bells were silent. A brilliant point of white in the center of the pilot's closely ruled micrometer grating, exactly upon the crosshairs of his directors, showed that the immense vessel was precisely upon the calculated course, as laid down by the automatic integrating course plotters. Everything was quiet and in order. "All's well, sir," he reported briefly to Captain Bradley. But all was not well. Danger, more serious far in that it was not external, was even then, all unsuspected, gnawing at the great ship's vitals. In a locked and shielded compartment, deep down in the interior of the liner, was the great air purifier. Now a man leaned against the primary duct, the aorta, through which flowed the stream of pure air supplying the entire vessel. This man, grotesque in full panoply of space armor, leaned against the duct, and as he leaned, a drill bit deeper and deeper into the steel wall of the pipe. Soon it broke through, and the slight rush of air was stopped by the insertion of a tightly fitted rubber tube. The tube terminated in a heavy rubber balloon which surrounded a frail glass bulb. The man stood tense, one hand holding before his silica and steel-helmeted head a large pocket chronometer, the other lightly grasping the balloon. A sneering grin was upon his face as he awaited the exact...